Well, good morning to you. It's great to have you here. And, you know, and a couple weeks ago, I was looking at just different videos that would actually capture the moment of seeing a portrayal of what maybe it would look like 2,000 years ago from Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, these people are listening. And they're just average people, just like us, that are just listening and watching and seeing where they fall in line with Jesus' words. And now we have come to the very last of this series, When God Speaks. And I hope that each and every one of you over the weeks, and if you've missed any of them, I hope that you maybe would go back and listen to the past 5 weeks as we opened up God's Word and we used this particular parable, this message of the farmer scattering the seeds, the farmer broadcasting its seeds out to each and every single person. And the whole idea was to be able to capture the point that each one of us can hear God talk to us. Did you know that God speaks to you? Hopefully after all these messages that you know and hopefully in your everyday life that you have been hearing God speak to you. You may not hear that big time voice like we've heard and seen in scriptures, but you may end up having that small, still whisper that God is wanting to talk to you about something and lead you into some direction of your life for you to be able to bear fruit. He longs to be able to talk to you. He longs to. Do you long to talk to Almighty God, to Elohim, El Shaddai, the great I Am? Is that our desire, is to talk to Him? There is no other religion in the world that offers to be able to have the communication, because all the other false gods out there are dead. And the one that Sal sang about, the one that he wrote, is that God is alive. God is alive and well, and he wants to, and he desires to have this unbelievable relationship with each and every single one of us. And please never forget that you are not insignificant. You are not insignificant to God. He created you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life, and you are not just down here working your 40 hours, 50 hours a week, having a family, and then that's the end of it. There's so much more to life that God wants to show you and teach you and wants you to be doing. As we look back at the things that we heard over the past several weeks, there's four things I want to be able to make sure that we recap that we hear. And as I go through this quickly, number one, we want you to understand, God wants you to understand through this text that we must cultivate an open heart and an open mind. We must be ready. We must be willing to want to hear from God. Are you here today willing and ready and eager to hear from God? If you're not, you're probably not going to hear Him. And if we're not that way, each and every day when we wake up and say, God, speak to me. I want to be able to hear what you have to say to me. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live an extraordinary life with you. I want to have an amazing relationship. I don't want what those people got. I want to see what you have for me. And this is called faith. Where is your faith right now in God? I must make time. Number two, I must make time to listen to Him. I can't be in such a hurry where I'm going to miss everything. I must not just have faith, but I must listen. I gave the illustration that we don't want to just fly by. We want to be able to walk with Him, because then we'll be able to hear and see what He has to show us. Number three, we must be willing and need to eliminate some of the distractions that are going on in our life. We create so many more things in our life with distractions and come up with things, and people get us off sidetracked. We are going down a destination, and we need to make sure that we're understanding that He has a plan and a purpose, and He's trying to make sure that with all the distractions that are out there and all the temptations and all the things that we create, we need to help eliminate some of those things and ask the Lord to become Lord of our life. So we need to be able to have faith. We need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to eliminate some of the distractions and make Him Lord of our life. Before He can become Savior of our life, you have to make Him Lord. You have to make Him Lord. You got to humble yourself before the Lord. Then He can save you. You got to own up. You got to make sure that you repent. You got to be willing to say, I am open and ready. Whatever your will is, I'm willing to do. And the fourth thing that we're about to see in this last part of this parable is that we must be willing to obey Him. Obedience. Obedience is key to being able to hear the Word of God. We have to be willing to obey. We're having to be willing to make sure that we're ready to do whatever the things He's wanting us to do. He says to be holy, for I am what? Holy. We got to be willing to do whatever. Ephesians 10:18, it's not going to be up there, but you can write this down. Ephesians 10:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all times, at all times, and on every occasion. We got to stay alert. We got to be persistent in our prayers. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to be listening. It's hard to make Him Lord. It's hard to obey if we are not praying in the Spirit at all occasions, staying alert, being persistent. When that happens, it's like saying to the Lord, yes, Lord, send me. Here is your servant, God. Have you ever said that to the Lord? Here I am, send me. Have you ever said, I am your servant, Lord. Whatever it is, your will be done. Not my will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I must be about my Father's business. We have to be willing to come in that type of attitude and heart for us to be able to hear God. When our heart is open, we need to watch out. When our heart and our mind is open, and when we are listening, and when we have the faith, and when we are making Him Lord, and when we are obedient, you need to watch out. God is ready to move in your life. He is ready to speak to you, and you're going to be able to hear Him talk and speak to you. But what if our response to God is something different? What if our children today responded like this to parents today? What if school kids responded like this to teachers today? What if co-workers responded to their bosses like this today? Whatever your will is. What if citizens responded to police officers and government officials that are elected like this? And what if the children of God, the church, responded to the Lord with this type of attitude? How many of you guys remember the story of the Garden of Eden? Yeah? The biggest regret Adam and Eve ever had was stepping out from obedience. Stepping out of His will. Stepping out and going their own way. Stepping out and listening to someone else instead of listening to the Word of God. The greatest regret that Adam and Eve have is following their own way or someone else's way and stepping out of obedience. What if we do and said this? God, tell me what it is that you want me to do. And if I like it, if I like your plan. I'll do it. If I don't like your plan, I won't. Can anybody relate to that? I can relate to that. These two little letters, IF, if, is playing havoc on this world and havoc on the church. Those two little letters played havoc in the Garden of Eden. It's a decision that we all get to make. It's that wonderful two-letter word, if. But there's another six-letter word, too, that also played havoc. It's called regret. Regret is a very, very powerful word. Is anybody still dealing with regret in their life right now? I love the quote that Rick Warren gave. The number one selling book of all Christian books of all time, The Purpose-Driven Life. He said this, God never gives you His will and His word so that you can debate it. I like that because that's dealing with the F, the IF, the two letters that are playing havoc. And yes, you do have free will. I have free will. Adam and Eve had free will. They're not robots. We can live our life. We can go and do, and we get to make decisions each and every day on how we want to live our life. That's the beautiful thing about having a relationship with God. It's the beautiful relationship that we have with friends, our spouses, our children, everybody. We get to make the call. It's free will. But never forget how Adam and Eve felt after they went their own way. And that's a feeling I think a lot of us don't want to experience. So obedience is all about being God-focused in advance. It's being proactive with faith. It's being staying alert. It's that verse that I just talked about, staying alert, being on the move, being persistent, never just sitting there, never being stagnant in your walk, actually moving towards faith, listening to Him, watching to see what He's wanting us to do. As I was telling y'all last week, I love boxing. It's probably one of my favorite sports for lots of different reasons. But I love to watch a boxer because they're always ready. They've been training. They know how to jab. They know how to, you know, to do the hook shot. They know how to duck. They're constantly moving. They can block. They're always watching out. There's always two things that are going on in that ring the whole time. One is that they're moving. Have you ever seen a boxer? Have you ever watched a boxer? The bell ring and all of a sudden they just sit there? And the other guy's bouncing around him, you know, moving, you know, and just twirling around him and everything. You'll never see a boxer just sit there and take a pounding. It's not going to happen. They're ready. They're moving. They're doing all the things. They're staying active. They're ready to go any direction. And the second thing that's going on is that they're always listening to their corner. You may not think the boxer's listening, but they're listening. They're listening to their corner the whole entire time. They're listening to their trainer. There you got Mick over there yelling at Rocky. He's there. He's going over everything that they talked about. He's in his face. He's listening. He's telling them what to do, what not to do. That not once in a fight will a true fighter ever just stand there. He's always listening to his corner. Luke chapter 8, as we open up God's word right now, let's finish the last part of the soil. In Luke chapter 8, the fourth soil is this. And still other seed fell on fertile soil. We saw that already. A farmer went out to plant a seed. He scattered it across the field. Some seed fell on the footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. In verse 6, other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but planted soon. It wilted and died for a lack of moisture. In verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns and the weeds, and it grew up with it, and it choked it out. In verse 8, and other seed fell on the fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." This is the good soil. This is the good soil. This is the rich soil. This is one that is ready to do something, is ready to produce. It's ready to receive. It's ready to be planted. Its roots are ready to go deep. It's ready to produce fruit. And what is that fruit going to look like? Only God knows what it's going to look like. And that's the cool thing about having a relationship with God and having an individual relationship with God, because each and every single one of you guys are going to be able to produce fruit that is needed here for the church and for God's kingdom. He wants to use you in a special way and in your particular way for his kingdom and to radically change your life. And look at verse 8:15. This is what he's saying that this verse means, to keep it all in context. The seeds that fell in good soil stand for those who what? Hear. And the message that what? Retain it. In a good and a what? Obedient heart. And that does what? That persists until they bear fruit. Four major things that's going on in this verse that Jesus talks about. Four things I want you to make sure that you have underlined or circled or wrote down in your bulletins. The good soil, your heart, the way that you're going to bear fruit. Good soil means that you heard it. Good soil means that you retained it. Good soil means that you had obeyed it. And good soil means that you will persist until you bear fruit. If you're doing these things, you're going to bear great fruit. This is the whole goal. This is Jesus' whole goal for every single person. There are people that teach this parable, though, in a different way. And yes, you can apply different things about this, but I want you to see what's a little bit different. And even though we talked about a little bit of this stuff, I want you to understand that this is not the way this text needs to be taught. It's not talking about just being a person that you're resistant toward God. It's not talking about you just being busy. It's not talking about you just being shallow. It's not talking about, it's just dealing with good people, godly people. That means you fit in one of those categories. You're either resistant, don't care. You're either busy, don't care. You're shallow, you don't care. Or you can have choice number four, D, and you're a good person and you've made it and you're going to be productive in life. That's not what it's saying. The Bible scholars and theologians want you to know this. What I want you to know is that these are hearts and attitudes of not just one person, not just anybody, but all of us. Every single one of us can fall into any of these categories at any given time as a Christian and as a non-Christian. Is any of you right now having a little resistance towards God and not wanting to hear Him? Is anyone in here ever get too busy for God and you put Him a little bit last on the priority list? Is anyone in here look good sometimes on the outside but pretend the way that you're walking with God and your roots are not going too deep right now? Are the weeds choking you out? Are there times in your life where you say, you know what, God, I'm open to where you want me today? I can tell you that we can be at any one of these places any time in a day. You may go from 1 to 4. You may go 1, 2, 3, 4. You may go to 2 and 3. You may get stuck on 3 for the next year. And the reason why I know this for sure is because I can see it not just in my own life, but also in other people's lives as well. And so can you. It's a very hard thing to watch. And this is why when Jesus Christ is talking, he's talking to ordinary people, realizing that the whole goal is for each and every one of us is to stay at 4. But we realize it's very difficult always to be able to keep this open and receptive way of saying, thy will be done. Yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, it's about your business today. Instead, we just say, you know what? I'm making you last right now because I got to get this, and this done. Or, you know what? I haven't thought about you in about a week. Or, you know what? I'm kind of a little shallow right now because I got this party I got to go to, or I got this whatever. I got this citizen thing I got to go to in the community, or I'm going to work, you know, and while I'm at work, I can't really, you know, I'm going to have to be a little shallow with you today at work because I can't really be who I really am. We can easily fall into any of these all throughout our day and all throughout our week. I like number 4 the best. It feels the best, doesn't it? There's something about it, man. It's so peaceful. There's something about it. You just feel like I'm so close to God. There's something about it where you just like, I don't want this moment to stop right now. And I know as soon as I leave church, I got to go into this zone of my life. And I don't want to go there. And I know that come tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I got to wake up and I got to get busy again. And I know that as soon as I end up getting back in this relationship, or as soon as I start dealing with my kids' problems, or as soon as I start doing whatever, Adam and Eve, they love number 4. There's something about being in that garden. There's something about being in that garden. Regret. There's not a day that does not go by that I don't struggle with the 2 letters and I don't struggle with the 6 letters. But there's something powerful about regret, because regret can bring you to the point that you desire for so bad. It's what the prodigal son experienced. The prodigal son experienced the 1 and the 2 and the 3, those 3 soils in his day and his week, but then all of a sudden he needed to go back to the garden. He needed to go back and remember what he had. And in our spiritual life, we're there all the time. We want to go back because we want to go back to the time when we say, what was it about you, God, that changed my life, that put me at the front of the cross and said, yes, it's your will? What was it for you? You remember that day? Do you remember the day that you gave your life to Christ? What brought you there? And you can go back to that place every single day of your life. You never have to forget about it. And you never have to stay in regret. You're going to always deal with the if, because it's your choice and your free will. But God's always going to say, I'm right there with you. Come back home. Question is how do you bear fruit in your life? And there are verses, whether it's in John 15 or other verses, that deals with fruit, powerful verses that can talk about the fruit in your life. And there are people that sometimes will preach this wealth and prosperity, and if you do this and this and this, and then all these things, great things will happen to you in your life. Can I tell you, there's a lot of great people that a lot of bad things happen to? This is not like a pyramid scheme. If you do these four things, then everything's going to work out great. It's not a get-rich scheme. It's not a four- or five-step process for success in life that some people preach on. Let me give you what Jesus says. The key is becoming a teacher of what you are learning from God. If you want to bear fruit in your life, you got to actually become a teacher of what God is telling you and go do it and tell other people about it. Don't ever say, I don't know enough verses for me to share the gospel. Get that out of your heart. Don't ever say that you're insignificant or you're too young or you're too old or you're too retired or you're too whatever. Get that out of there. You are not insignificant. You're not too young. You're not too old. I'm telling you right now, there are 4- and 5-year-olds that are actually doing some pretty amazing things. Teenagers that are doing some pretty amazing things. Young adults, elder adults that are actually teaching and mentoring and showing people how to actually follow God's word. Just this weekend, I listened to a man teach the same story and heard the same story 3 times. Because God was speaking to him. And so he spoke to my son, he spoke to me, and he spoke to my wife. He was ready to teach what God was doing in his life. And not one time did he use one verse. He just spoke God's truth. That's bearing fruit. Verse 15 says this again. They listen to God's words and they cling to them and they steadily spread them out. They broadcast the seeds. Who will soon believe? Spread them to others. Would you underline that and write that to in your Bible? If you want to bear good fruit, if you want to produce fruit in your life, if you want to be in God's will, here's the key. Go spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Go spread it. Go tell others about it. Let people know what it is that you're learning. Anything that you learn in equipping the saints, in your Sunday school classes, in your sermons, in your own personal quiet times, with anybody, you should go and you should tell that story to anyone that would actually hear, no matter what situation they're in. And I want to close with this today. It's a great reminder of what I'm talking about. How many of you guys remember the Chilean miners back in 2010? How many of you guys remember the miners? Now, not the recent one where the soccer team got trapped in the cave, right? By the way, stay out of caves. If you don't hear anything else, stay out of caves. There was a group of miners just doing their job. In August 5th, 2010, they were in San Jose in the copper gold mine in northern Chile. And here's your picture of them. There was 33 men who were trapped 2,300 feet underground. Try to get your mind around that. 2,300, I can't even go up on a 10-foot house. 2,300 feet underneath ground. Not for 2 days, but for 69 days, they were trapped. It cost them, the people, over $20 million to get these people out. $20 million. And among those 33 miners, there was one guy, and his name was Henriquez. Henriquez was a miner in there, and he knew the fate of them were not going well. And each and every single day for 69 days, as the only Christian, he began to go to one minor at a time. And before each and other of those people were rescued after the 69th day, 22 of 33 minors heard about the lordship and the relationship with Almighty God. 22 out of 33 minors received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's pretty amazing, huh? Not all the seeds fell on an open heart. Not all of them had time to listen. Don't know really what else they were doing. Not all of them would eliminate the distractions. I imagine probably worrying and trying to get out. But 22 stepped out of the cave of darkness with God and saw the light of Jesus Christ and found him. And when it was all said and done, they saw living hope, El Shaddai, the great I Am, rescue them from the cave through these people. And even if they were never rescued, they were rescued eternally with God forever. Do the math. How many people did not respond to God and to the calling of Christ? Some fell on rocky soil. Some fell on roots that just could not go deep. Some of the things were shallow. All these things were happening, and that's the way that sometimes it goes. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you." Here's the great part. Here's my verse of the week. "Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God does not want any single person to perish. How can God bring about a wonderful fruit in your life? Remember, it can happen to any of us, right? At any given day, at any given time. And God is still working in the caves. So if you think that you're too far gone, 2,300 feet gone away from God, he'll find you. He'll find you. Let's pray. Father God, as we wrap up this series on hearing your word, I pray that God, that that each and every one of us would walk out of here today encouraged, knowing that, Lord, you have such a great plan and a purpose, and that you desire not one person to perish and not to be able to hear your words. I pray that one person will not walk out of here not hearing your word today. Each and every one of us can fall in any category of this life, and we pray that, God, that we will remember that should we, our hearts, not be willing to be cultivated and ready and eager to hear. I pray that, God, that you would penetrate our hearts and convict us. I pray that, God, if we're becoming a little bit shallow, and you need to bust open the rocks underneath us and to get that pride and to get those things from being able to root, I pray that you'll break it open, and it's not going to be comfortable. And Father God, I pray that Lord, if the things around us, the weeds and the stuff begin to start choking us out, all the pleasures and the busyness and all the things that are happening each and every day in our life and the things that we fall into and the temptations or the things that we make Lord of our life and not you Lord of our life. I pray that God, that you would show us those things. Because deep down inside, Lord, we all want to fall back into the Garden of Eden. We each one of us want to be in that place where we are welcomed back home as the prodigal. That's the place we all truly desire to be. And so whatever it is for each one of us, I pray that that will be our longing and our desire each day. And if there's anyone here does that not know you personally, I pray that they would make that opportunity known to you today. He who has ears, let them hear what the Word of God says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.